I love that Frank Sinatra. They don't make it like that anymore. I'm sounding old. All right, let's take a moment of silent prayer. Get us in the right mental attitude for worshiping God by listening to His Word. We do that by naming and citing known sins, if we have any. That way we'll be filled, controlled by God the Holy Spirit, our true mentor and teacher. If there's anything bothering you, now's not the time to concentrate on your problems. Now's the time to prepare to do the most fantastic thing we have the opportunity to do, which is to hear the Word of God and have it change our thinking. So let's take a moment now to name and cite known sins, if we have any. Heavenly Father, we thank You for providing everything that You do for us. We thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for His work on the cross. And Father, we thank You for Your Word, Your finished Word that guides us and directs us and tells us all the fantastic things about who You are and Your plan. Father, we thank You for the God, the Holy Spirit, our power source and mentor in residence. We thank You for His mentorship that allows us to understand the Word of God. And it guides us and directs us and is with us all the time to understand where we need to be pointed and we need to be instructed and enriched. Father, we just thank You so much for all this provision. We ask tonight for the mentorship of the Holy Spirit so that the communication of Your Word will be accurate and understandable and that the hearers will be able to relax and concentrate. Father, we pray for this ministry. We pray for the members of it. We pray for leaders of our country and the church, pastor, teachers, and evangelists, Father. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's on His merits that we pray by the power of the Spirit. Amen. Well, good evening, everybody. Just a couple of announcements. We do have prayer meeting on Wednesdays after class. Those of you that would like to join members of the royal family in prayer, it's going to be after class tonight in the back, in the prep school room, which is in the back of where I'm standing right now. I think on Sunday we're going to have a form that you can fill out that in case we have an emergency and we need to cancel class for any reason. Can't think of what a reason might be except the name storms that I'm looking at in the Atlantic right now. But in that event, we'll have information to be able to contact you at your option. You don't have to give us that information, but if you'd like to be contacted by email or phone, we'll give you an opportunity to provide that information as well. And I did want to mention that we have an offering box in the back. I keep telling you guys about our policy, and then we've had two or three people come up and say, that's great, that's your policy, but how do I actually give? So I'm going to make this let you guys know that we do have an offering box in the back. It's on my left on the back wall. So I'll announce that a couple of times so the deacons don't get mad at me. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Doctrine of Spiritual Gifts. We're on part 17, the cosmic system counterfeits God's system for blessing people. We're still on point one of this doctrine, this great doctrine of spiritual gifts. I think we're going to be looking at the person of God, the Holy Spirit, and His work next. There's a little bit of a, you know, if we're going to look about the gift, we have to also consider the giver. But tonight we're still on the world system, the cosmic system. We're looking at the doctrine of spiritual gifts, and that first point that we've been looking at is the scene, the setting. What's going on in Corinth in the first century? What's going on in every century at every church? And that's what got us to the world system as that great opponent that we have in the spiritual life. And we've been examining what the Bible has to say about the world and the cosmic system, and we're just about ready to wrap that subject up tonight, I think. I don't make any promises anymore, but I think we'll be just about wrapping that up tonight. And we've seen that the world is a system of thinking that exalts self and opposes the Lord God. Exalts self, opposes the Lord God. Those two directions of this negative system of thinking that is the enemy of the spiritual life, one of the enemies. A system that exalts self and opposes God. We were in the book of Genesis. And there, the very first book of the Bible, we saw how Satan brought on the world to the human race. On Sunday, we went to the last book of the Bible to see that Satan never changes his methods. In fact, let's take a quick look at that again and warming up tonight. Please go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. the world system, exalting self, opposing the Lord God. It's anti-God, and it promotes the worship of self. We were in the book of Genesis, and we saw Satan in the garden and how he brought the world system on and the things that he said to the woman. And then on Sunday, we were in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, Revelation 12, chapter 12, verse 9. We saw that Satan never changes, and the world system never changes either. That it's based on one particular word, which we saw on Sunday. Let's read again, Revelation 12, 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives, there's that key word, who deceives the whole world. It's amazing to me that how often the Bible tells us that the method that Satan uses to try to capture us and bring us away from the plan is deception. And it's amazing how often it's in the Bible. It's amazing how often I read these verses and I still forget the nature of what's going on in terms of deception. In other words, what we perceive isn't always what's really happening. And that we're being lied to in so many ways. And we need to keep being reminded of this. He deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth. And his angels were thrown down with him. And we saw that in this passage, the nicknames of Satan, that he's called the devil and Satan. Satan itself is a nickname. We don't know his real name. We saw that they meant things like slanderer and accuser and gossiper. We found it very interesting that his nickname, Diabolos, has to do with sins of the tongue. A connection there between the sins of the tongue and how Satan tries to deceive us, and how when we misuse our tongue, we're guilty of the same thing, that we are also participating in this great deception when we slander and gossip about other people. So the next time that you're tempted to get involved in any sins of the tongue wickedness, just keep in mind that Satan's nickname means exactly that. And in fact, the real problem in Corinth, this church that we've been studying, was sins of the tongue. And we'll see some more of that as well. The Bible actually, as we saw on Sunday, describes the tongue and its sins as a flame that first destroys the person who is committing the sin of the tongue and then spreads to other people. It's a flame. It's one of the worst problems that a local assembly can have, is people misusing tongues with sins of the tongue and gossip and so forth. We saw in James chapter 3, verse 6, this verse, the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. What a verse. What a verse. It talks here about the fact that it is a small part of the body, but it can cause big trouble for our entire life. And not only that, but the course of our life. What does that mean? It means that things that you say can totally change the course of your life. You tell a lie in a certain situation, it can totally change the course of your life. Ask Bill Clinton. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, though, you know, the tongue, we've got to really think about how we use this part of the body that we have, because it can really, what you say or what you say can defile somebody else's entire body, their entire life. You know, especially people that you're in close relationships with, parents, you know, with your children, married people with one another, you understand that what you say can have a big impact for the good or for the bad in the lives of the people that love you and that really listen to what you have to say. And we adults have to remember that about children an awful lot. But the tongue, when it's misused, can destroy, defile. It can change the course of people's lives. And notice the source of these sins of the tongue, set on fire by hell. And by the way, we have a handout that we updated in the back for any of you that want to spend more time understanding the different ways in which the tongue can be misused and the different sins of the tongue. It's humbling, but it's worthwhile to consider that the different ways in which this tongue can be misused. That should be on our website soon as well, that document. Revelation 12:9. The great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And the key word, again, that we spent time on Sunday, and we'll pick things up tonight, is that Greek word for the English word deceives. The word for deceives is the present active participle of pleneo, which is plenon, and it means to deceive, to lead others away from the truth, to cause to wander, to lead others aside. Satan is doing this to the entire world. He has a system that he's using to do it, with fallen angels, with the tongues of men and women. And it's designed to lead people away from the truth that sets them free, to cause people to wander away from the plan of God. This is believers now, to lead people aside from the way in which God wants them to go. We saw this is exactly what Satan did in the garden with the woman. He used the tongue. He used deception to lead her away from God's design for her life. And then Adam followed suit. And we saw that in the first book of the Bible. We see it in the last book of the Bible. Satan never changes. Now, if it was in the first book of the Bible before we got on the scene, and we see it in the last book of the Bible after we're gone and in heaven, you got to believe that that's the way he's operating right now. He doesn't change. Deception is what we really have to be aware of. Satan will not be rehabilitated. He's exactly the same tonight as he was in the garden. He'll be exactly the same at the end of human history as he is tonight. A liar and a murderer. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said about Satan in John 8:44. He's a liar and a murderer. He rules, but he rules this world by deception. How opposite, you think about it. You think about it. The Lord who loves us, who you can't even imagine, has provided the truth. And all that the Lord wants to do with his plan is for people to know the truth. What the real situation is about our condition as being human beings, about who God really is, why there's suffering on this planet. He wants everybody to understand everything that's in this book, as a matter of fact. And that's his provision. And then you think about the fact that we have the enemy of God on the scene and all the kinds of deception that are out there and how many people have fallen for it. And you just realize that it's what a battle that we're involved in and what a privilege that we have. But to me, my heart just breaks at times to think about how good a job the kingdom of darkness does with deception and how few there are who seek out the word of God and live according to it. And I'm not putting anybody on a pedestal because I got to tell you, it's all by the grace of God. When I think about the fact that I have the opportunity to do what I do in terms of studying, that we have an opportunity to do what we do in terms of gathering together. You think of the great grace of God that put everything together in order for us to be able to do that. I'm humbled by that. And I'm also motivated to think about all the people out there who are being lied to by the world system day in and day out and how vacant their lives are. And they put on a great show, you know, but they're alienated from God. And yes, they make the decisions to do so, but they have a lot of help in the world system and the ways in which they get lied to from infancy on by the things that they're told and the things that they get information from in the world, the educational system, the media, the philosophies of the world and so forth. They all sound good. But I will see one tonight, by the way, that sounds really good. But the word of God shows you why all these things are lies and the damage they do to people. And Satan rules by deception. And there are many people today, look out for this. There are people that in the business world do the same thing. That their business strategy is to deceive the customer, deceive the employees, deceive the government. I mean, that's their strategy. They're political candidates. Their whole strategy. I've read it. I've read where they say that the game is to deceive people into believing that you're on their side. So they'll have one message for zip code 33078 and the opposite message for zip code 33495 because they can target the mailings that way. I mean, that's deception, gang. And it's all around us. But again, I think about the one person who has never done that. You know, we don't have a good, I think, we'll never have a real complete grasp of the integrity of God. The one who has never deceived or lied, ever. You know, we're always comparing God to human beings. And a lot of times we compare him to ourselves. That's a big mistake because we're more aware of our own lack of integrity, by the way, than anybody else's. When we're really honest with ourselves. And so we really have to be taught over and over again about who God really is, what it's like to be God, to be one who has never lied to anybody, who came on the scene and said, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good. We want to create. We have this amazingness, which is the Trinity, and we want to share it with these creatures. So we're going to create them, and we're going to give them free will. And it's God's heartbeat's always been the same thing, to give, and give even sacrificially with his Son, and the truth that who he is. And to be somebody who from eternity past has done nothing but give and be the truth and forgive and have grace, and then to have this world that gets in the way of the people you so love that you want to just reach with this truth. And the integrity will allow that to go on because of one creature that has started the whole problem. To me, it's just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling, too, to think of the level of deception where there's so many who don't see it, who don't see how fantastic our God really is. I'm preaching a little. Sorry, it's Wednesday. There's a thunderstorm. I thought, I wouldn't know if anybody'd be here tonight. I'm like, man, by the way, kudos to you guys for stepping out there in the middle of that rainstorm and saying, I'm coming to worship the Lord and His Word anyway. So, but in any event, that's His deal. And so here's the point, though. Here's the point for us to think about. That since it is true that the soul has been under attack with the lies since birth, and the only thing that really shines the truth on our souls is the Word of God, then the places in our lives and our souls and our thinking that we don't have sound teaching from the Bible, those are areas that are open to deception. And so really, the quicker that we can get good and solid information from the Bible in these areas, the better. Whether it's marriage or business or how you see yourself, any of these kind of things, the more sound doctrine you have, the less vulnerable you are to being deceived by the world. And now we look through different places in the New Testament where that Greek word we saw, planeo, is used. We saw one of the major uses of it, meaning to lead astray, but in particular, false teachers that lead people astray. And that, if I get sad about the world system, I get angry when I think about this one. When I think about people who are saying that they're representing Jesus Christ and they're lying to people. That to me is just the horrible thing. Why? Because, wolves in sheep's clothing, right? You have the sheep that want to be fed and they're going somewhere where they're asking, please tell me what the truth is, and they're being lied to. But that happens. And you need to understand this is warning after warning, in fact, in the New Testament about false teachers and how they're going to come on the scene and try to attack the sheep and the flock, leading people astray, believers now, through false teaching. And we saw that deception can come through the people you associate with. We saw that in 1 Corinthians and Romans. And it all comes down to, at the end of the day, rejecting what the Bible has to say, forsaking the right way, and then being deceived. And we really laid our hands on the real essence of it in this statement. Deception is the demonization of the soul. Sounds kind of extreme, but the fact of the matter is that there are demons, there are fallen angels, and they work for Satan, and their job is to go out there and perpetuate this world system to try to get lies into the souls of people, particularly believers or unbelievers. And when people allow those lies in, their soul is demonized. Now, they wouldn't say that, but that's exactly what the Bible has to say about the matter. Your personality, your thinking, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, if you listen to the information that the cosmic system is sending your way, your soul will be demonized. And the longer you live in the cosmic system, which is a system of thinking, it's not a place, it's not Walmart, the malls, Las Vegas, no, it's not a place, it's a system of thinking. And the longer you put your soul in that system of thinking, the more of this deception and demonization goes on. It's also transference. The kingdom of darkness wants to transfer their lies to your soul. And so deception is thought transference of demon doctrines to the believer in the cosmic system. Different things. Now, what are these things? What are these demon doctrines? Well, it's anything that contradicts the Word of God. Anything that contradicts the Word of God is ultimately a demon doctrine. Something like, homosexuals are born that way and they can't help it, so leave them alone and let them get married. How many times do we hear that in the system today? Well, it sounds good, but unfortunately, that's not what the Bible has to say about the design. Now, it doesn't mean that if somebody has those tendencies, that's not the issue. The issue is when the government says that it's okay for these people to get married, that's a problem, you see? And it's the behavior. So now you take something like that. Well, you think about how that subject has filtered into our culture over the last 50 years. It started out innocently. It reminds me of the way that the Muslims try to how to behave in countries where they're the minority. They have a whole book on this, by the way, where they're like in the United States, they're going to play nice and tell you it's a religion of peace, But go to Saudi Arabia and find out how they treat the Jews in Saudi Arabia, and then tell me if it's a religion of peace or not. You see, and it's the same thing. It gets on the scene a little bit of it at a time. We're going to see a passage tonight in Daniel, how this is the approach that the kingdom of darkness in the world does. Just a little bit at a time, a little more, reel you in. First, maybe 40 years ago, it was portrayed in a very innocent way. This is something that homosexual acts are prohibited by the Word of God. That's not the way we're supposed to handle our bodies. That's just the way it is. It's the way it is. So little by little, first of all, maybe it's just two guys holding hands in a movie. And then as time goes on, the generations go on, it's more and more explicit, more and more in your face. This is the way we're supposed to be. And our children, pray for our children, because they're immersed in these kind of images and information and being lied to about that. And that's just one example. And there's many, many examples like it. And that's the way in which it works. They're transferring their thinking, which is what? Whatever God has designed things to be, it's the opposite of that. And let's get that thinking into as many people's souls as possible. That's what's going on. It's deception. It's deception. It doesn't mean, by the way, that you're a member of the occult if you're involved in this, because we're all getting attacked this way. It just means that human viewpoint and religious thinking rather than grace orientation, what the Bible has to say. A lot of people out there think they're very intelligent and wise, when in reality they are under extreme deception and delusion. But there's so many other people like them that are telling them that they agree with them, that they think they're wise and intelligent. But the worst kind of deception is deceiving yourself, self-induced deception. So it's a very serious subject in God's Word. There are many warnings given to us about the deception from the world system, like Matthew 22:29. You are deceived, not understanding the Scriptures or the power of God. The writer of the book of Hebrews said the same thing. They always go astray in their heart, and they do not know my ways. See, the key is, how do you prevent yourself from being deceived? Really simple, actually. Understand the Scriptures. Live under the power of God. Realize that we're all vulnerable to this. If it's not for the Word of God and the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we're all going to fall for it every day. So that's how we do it. And we have to know God's ways, how He thinks. That's what the Word of God is all about. And notice where they go astray in Hebrews 3:10. They always go astray because they walk on the wrong side of town. They always go astray because they're out after midnight. No, they always go astray in their heart, where they do their thinking, where they have their norms and standards, their values, their principles. That's where we go astray. That's the target of the world system, your heart, what you think, what you believe, where you do your thinking. They do not know my ways. We saw on Sunday that even signs and wonders, watch out for this. Now, there's definitely, God is free to do as He wants with His church. If He wants to have certain ways of reaching people, He can do it. If He wants to have a miracle tonight in this building, He can do it. He's got the sovereignty to do those kind of things. However, the Bible warns us that these kind of things can also be used by the other side. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect believers. Even believers can fall for this. And so we're warned about that as well. That, don't always trust what your eyes see and what you hear, and check it out against the Word of God. Or Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. We have this amazing capacity to lie to ourselves, self-deception. For example, we hear the teaching on grace and how our sins are forgiven, and we translate into the fact that we can sin and there won't be any consequences for it. That's not what the Bible says. But we have amazing ability to make that leap of deception when we think. So it's a reality in our day and age. In fact, I hate to say this, but the truth is probably, for most of us, that the majority of our friends are being deceived big time by the world system. In fact, the majority of many families, not all, but many families are being deceived on a regular basis and almost completely deceived by the cosmic system, according to God's Word. And it's very simply, the reason is real simple, where we started tonight, Revelation 12:9. The serpent of old, who is called the devil, deceives the whole world. Even the woman in the garden, she was perfect. She didn't have an old sin nature. She ended up being deceived by the craftiness of Satan, as we saw, 2 Corinthians 11:3. I'm afraid, Paul writes, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray or deceived from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And notice, again, what's led astray. Is it our bodies? No, it's our minds. That's the target of the big strategy of the kingdom of darkness, is to lead our minds astray. What we're thinking, the messages that we allow into our soul, that's where we have to be on the alert. And in saying all of this and teaching all of this, I don't want you to become paranoid. I don't want you to be one of these people that has to pull the trench coat over your head and, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, have no fun. No, that's not the point at all. The point is that, as in Galatians chapter 5, does it say, worry about the desires of your flesh all the time and fight them. That's not what Galatians 5 says. It says, walk by means of the Spirit and you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. When you hear the truth and you saturate it, the truth will set you free, such that you can be in the midst of situations where people are saying things or doing things, and you have the protection. You're inoculated against it. By what? By the Word of God that's alive and powerful in your soul. Because greater is He who's in you. God the Holy Spirit is in residence. And He, with the Word of God and your faith in what the Word of God has to say, can beat the pants off all these lies every time. It's wonderful. You know, as a pastor teacher, I sometimes have to expose myself to lies in order to prepare to be able to protect you from them. Well, in so doing, I've got to be, you know, alert and careful, because I'm a human being just like you. I've got my areas of weakness and vulnerabilities, but I'll tell you something. When you go in there with the mindset that no matter what garbage the world's going to throw at me, I know that this is the weapon. This is the sword of the Spirit. It's going to cut through it if I let it. So all I got to do is let God, the Holy Spirit, identify for me what the truth is that blows up the lie, and wait for Him to do it. And then He does it. And so we don't have to be paranoid. We just need to understand what our weapons are for the destruction of these lies. And it's the Word of God and the mentorship of God, the Holy Spirit. He's in you. At the moment of salvation, He came to live with you. He indwelt you. Believe that, please, as the truth from the Word of God. But then call on Him, because that's what He's there for. You know, the Lord says, when I leave, in the Gospel of John, He says, I'm going to leave you now. I'm going to be hanging up there in the third heaven with my dad. But when I leave, somebody else is going to come. And He's going to be your mentor and your advocate and your teacher. And He's going to be with you. And in fact, you know, it's very interesting. He even says that I'm going to be with you. But Jesus, you're not here. No, but since the Spirit is in you and is your mentor, we're one and the same. I'm with you. And so it's a shame when believers ignore the teaching of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to look at next. But He's in you, and he's powerful, and He's all-knowing, and He wants you to rely on Him and not with your eyes seeing what your ears hear. I'm afraid, Paul writes, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray or deceived from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. So deception. We're going to continue on this and wrap up tonight. It's the invasion of the soul. It's an invasion force that wants to get inside your mind, your emotions, the self-consciousness. You know, you should from time to time, you know, note what's going on. You have to understand that we all have vulnerabilities. Like we're going to see in Daniel 7 tonight, where one of the things that Satan's always trying to do, the kingdom of darkness is always trying to do, is wear us down. And there are times you're going to be down. You're going to be emotionally down, and you have to be alert to these kind of things and call on the power of the Word of God when they're happening to you, and not letting these things get the better of you, because we're going to have these attacks from time to time on the mind, confusion, on the emotions, depression or fear, self-consciousness of the soul. Do you ever get in situations? It happens a lot to believers right here when we're gathered together, because the last thing the kingdom of darkness wants is fellowship and unity and people all watching the same way. And a lot of times we'll get an attack of self-consciousness, like, I'm not measuring up. These people don't really like me. You know that's a lie, right? That'll be the day that I die. But you know it's a lie, and yet it's there for a moment, and you're like, oh, it just consumes you. Where do you think that's coming from? It's not coming from God, who says you're perfectly righteous, and He's placed you in the perfect place, and you have a local assembly to build you up. Where's it coming from? We know where it's coming from. It's an invasion from the enemy to try to knock us down. So understand what these things are and realize that you've got the power to overcome them. So, but if you live in the cosmic system and you listen to that stuff and you believe that stuff and you let that entertain you and tempt you and you fall for it again and again, now what are you doing? You're breaking down your protection. And if you want to do that, you're a knucklehead. But I can't stop you. But you need to understand what's at stake and the enemy that you have, who's wicked and has no integrity. Like, why you'd want to be flirting with that guy, I don't know, but
We all do it.
So I'm not putting you down, but we need to understand the strategies. The only protection against deception is doctrine in your soul. Ephesians 4:14. And as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves. In other words, we've got to take responsibility for our spiritual life. We can't say, well, this is just something that's happening to me and I don't know why. And then sit there and let it keep happening again and again. Sucker for the same lie again and again and again. No, we're not supposed to be like that. Tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. This is false teaching, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But instead, we're supposed to do something that Peter talks about. Please go to the very end of 2 Peter. It's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. See, the kingdom of darkness is very aware of the score. They know that they're behind. We know that they've already lost. They just think they're behind. And they understand now that Christ is risen and that there's this church age and that there are these believers who have this amazing ability now to understand mystery doctrine in the New Testament. And they know that the battlefield is the soul. And so you've got to believe that they're organized and that the kingdom of darkness and the world system is well organized, and that they know what their objective is. It's to get inside your soul and to convince you of lies and to get you away from God and His plan. And so there's all kinds of waves. What do I mean by that? Ephesians 4:14. There's all kinds of false teachings and lies that are trying to push you in this way, push you that way. And we all have vulnerabilities. It could be certain emotions that get to us. It could be certain friends or family or thoughts or memories. And all these things are things that the kingdom of darkness tries to use. One solution. Look at 2 Peter 3:17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. Again, notice that the Bible warns us all the time to be on our guard. And notice what it's against: being carried away by the error of unprincipled men. Lies. And again, it's from the tongues of men and women. You fall from your own steadfastness. In other words, you were at a place where you were going forward in the plan, where you had the grace of God, where you were thinking right, and then you were carried away by lies. Now look at the positive side, though, in 2 Peter 3:18. But instead of that, here's the solution. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Everything that we're about after salvation is Jesus Christ, plain and simple. The Holy Spirit, He has taken all the truth that you learn from the Bible, and He is using that to make you more and more like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is glorified in the church age. And as we learn about Him, we learn about, first, notice that it's grow first in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to say something about grace tonight. We think of it a lot of ways. We think about it how God gives us things, that's true, that we don't deserve. We think about grace in terms of giving other people grace and being forgiving, and that's all true. But tonight, I want to mention something else about grace, and that is that we need to learn to give grace to ourselves. To ourselves, because what tends to happen is that we learn a doctrine like this. We understand we're under attack. And the first thing we do is we kind of put ourselves on heightened self-monitoring, and then we start to not do so well, and then we start attacking ourselves. And by the way, the kingdom of darkness loves that. That one of the best ways for him to get to you is to have you think that, oh, I blew it up, God's mad at me, up, I'm not measuring up. And then all of a sudden, now, why is that great? Well, because anything that they can do to put some kind of a barrier between you and Christ, you and the Word of God, you and the mentorship of God, the Holy Spirit, they'll go for it. If you're somebody who is easily guilted into things, they'll use that. And a lot of times we forget that we really are but dust. The Bible says that we were made from dust. The Bible says that Jesus Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. And we got to stop putting so much unrealistic expectations on ourselves. I say this in particular for this group in front of me tonight. And the reason is this. we're going through this thing now where we're opening a church. New things are coming. We're face-to-face teaching. People coming. You know, we got a building. And that's awesome. And it's the blessing of God in our lives. But, you know, then there's this human side. There's this worldly thinking that starts to come into creeping in there, which is, oh, boy, I hope we don't blow it. Oh, boy, now I got to really be a super Christian now because look how God has blessed me. Yeah, yeah. I know the smiles because you're probably going through it like I'm going through. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, I'm failing in this area. I'm failing in that area. And the kingdom of darkness loves that because, first of all, wear your eyes on self. On self. What is the whole idea of the world system? Self-exalted, God-excluded. And as soon as you start to look at yourself and where you're not measuring up, all of a sudden, who does it all depend on? You. All of a sudden, you, and you don't mean to do this. I don't mean to do this. But what have we done? We've pushed God right out of the way and said, dun-dun-dun-dun, it's all up to me now. Watch me go. Okay, you bless me a little bit, God. This is great. I get it now. I'm going to come out here and show you what I've got. Well, you know what you got. You got squat without him, the one you just pushed to the side. And so once we have to fall flat on our face a little bit, get humbled and say, all right, I get it. I'm no different today than I was a month ago. I'm not in Rhode Island anymore. I'm in Florida. There's people showing up 3 nights a week to hear the word of God from my mouth. But I'm still, I can't say what I say. But you get the idea. No, really, we have to show grace to ourselves. Here's one of the reasons why. You may suspect that so-and-so in the local assembly is really a son of a bitch. But you know for an absolute fact that you are. Right? See, you've lived with yourself from day one. So you know how wicked you really are. I know how wicked I really am. And so we got to give ourselves grace. We can't somehow, you know, apply the principle of, well, you know, we got to give people a break because of their sin nature. And then never apply it to ourselves. I mean, because we know more wicked things about ourselves than anybody else. And if God help us, if we don't use the grace of God in order to give ourselves a break. And I just say that because of where we're at as a church right now. I will strategically use things that may not be all that pleasant words coming from the pulpit. And if that, you know, if that is offensive from the point of view of dignity of the clergy, I do apologize for a word like that. But let me say that I use it selectively and intentionally at times in order to just jolt you a little bit into the reality of what's going on. And so, you know, I try not to do that too much. But once in a while, just to get the point across, I'll do something like that. It's in the dictionary. It means a female dog. But in any event, only truth can keep false thinking and false doctrine out of the soul. And remember that Satan is a super genius. And he's the greatest mind that any creature ever had. And there's only one mind that's made available to creatures that is more intelligent than Satan. And that's the mind of Jesus Christ. Satan is the master of deception. And he loves to cause division. And he loves to blind God's people. Especially from what he is doing, Satan, behind the scenes. Please turn to Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Satan is a master of deception. He loves to cause division. He loves to blind God's people, especially from what he is doing behind the scenes. Daniel 7, 25. And he doesn't do it all at once. He does it gradually and continually. This is how we can get to the place where, you know, like last week, wow, I was relaxed. I was full of joy. I knew that God had everything under control, and I was just clicking. And now this week, nothing's working. I feel like I feel like the weather. I feel like everything is kind of dark, and my soul has just got thunder and lightning. You know, how did I go from there to there? Well, it didn't happen all at once. It was, a move here, a thought there, put an unrealistic expectation over here, and so forth. Now, all of a sudden, you got it going on. Well, that's the way he is. He doesn't do it all at once. It's gradual, a little bit at a time. Little by little, we're worn down. Daniel 7:25. He will speak out against the Most High, and he will wear down the saints of the highest one. He will. If you could see in the invisible realm, you would be shocked, we all would, at the satanic plot to cause us to be worn out, no longer able to concentrate, no longer as in love with the Lord as we had been. You would be shocked at the plot to try to get that done. Actually, it's a good thing we can't see it. But never forget that there's somebody who does and can, and that's God the Holy Spirit. He can see it. Now remember, at the Pentecost, he came down here in a special way to abide with and in the church. So he's with us, okay? He's with us in every way you can possibly think of that. So that means that he knows what's going on. Now, he's omniscient, I understand, but even to kind of personalize it, you know, he's with you. He knows all the attacks that you got today. You don't. But by relying on him instead of yourself, you can continue to have victory and be one step ahead. Not because you got a mastermind, because he does. So God the Holy Spirit can see it. And as long as we just follow his instructions, without Christ we can do nothing. But with the guidance of the Spirit, we can do all things. And we won't fall prey to deception. So what are some of the things that Satan's up to? He wants to create discord. Discord. Get people to feel insecure about themselves, and then they'll feel insecure about the people in the local assembly, and all of a sudden there'll be this undercurrent of discord, and nobody quite knows why, but there it is. He breaks up unity. He sees unity in the local assembly, he breaks it up. He wants to. He sees unity in a family, he wants to break it up. He sees unity in a marriage, he wants to break it up. He sees unity in our schizophrenic one brain, and he wants to break it up. That's what he's about, break up the unity. He destroys patterns. This is very important. There's nothing wrong with that gut level instinct you have that you want to have a pattern established in your life. So there's a time for everything, right? There's a time for exercise. There's a time for family. There's a time for the Word of God. There's a time for just me and relaxing. There's a time for prayer. That's good, by the way. That's the way God wants it. What does Satan want to do? He wants to break up the pattern. Break up that continuity. Break up the pattern of people gathering together, the pattern of people knowing their roles in the local assembly and doing them. Break it up. That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy patterns in your personal life. He wants to destroy patterns in the life of the local assembly. He wants to destroy those patterns, those healthy patterns, in the life of the families and in marriages, in our communities, and in our country, by the way, as a client nation. Destroy those patterns. He also does this. He tears the mind apart. That's one of the meanings of diabolos. Tear the mind apart. Do you ever have one of those days where you just all of a sudden, your mind feels like it's broken? It's like being pulled in these opposite directions. You don't know what's right, but you just feel like your mind is being torn apart. It's being like ripped up, like your mind was this big sheet and somebody was going, ripping it. Well, somebody's trying to. Satan and the kingdom of darkness, through the world system, through these things we're bombarded with. I don't know about you, but there's many times when I'm reading something, watching something on television, watching a movie, and all of a sudden there'll be this just this ripping effect. It's like, this is not, I don't like what I just thought about what I just saw, kind of thing. What is that? It's ripping your mind apart. He wants to do that to you. He destroys emotions. He wants your emotions to go haywire because when your emotions are in control of your soul, you can't think. When your emotions are in control of your soul, God the Holy Spirit's not. So he wants to have your emotions overwhelm you. And he doesn't probably care too much which ones, but some of his favorite ones are sadness, fear, despair, anger. Those are some good ones that he likes to have in there in control. And so when those things are happening, what's going to happen to us? But understand that it's designed to take you away from the truth that sets you free, take you away from the peace that surpasses understanding. And you got a power, you got a mentor in residence in God the Holy Spirit. I want to stop saying power source. I want to start saying person, mentor, omniscient, omnipotent God, because that's who he is. Sometimes we limit him to a power source. He's way more than that. He's a person, and he's in you, and he's on your side. He attacks the body. There's times when, you know, there's times when, again, this is where I mean grace to yourself, where you just get to give yourself grace and say, for whatever reason, look at it honestly and say, my body is under attack, whatever it might be. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're overtired. Maybe you haven't slept well for a week. Whatever it might be, right? Your body is under attack. And just say that's what's going on. And at that point, give yourself a break. Give yourself some grace. And say, you know, if I leave it up to my thinking and my emotions right now, it's going to be all messed up. But if I say to myself, I got a friend in the Holy Spirit who knows exactly what to do right now, so I'm going to take a nap and let him do it, or whatever you can do at the moment. But give yourself a break and let him do that. Look, he loves you. He knows who you are. The lie is that, you know, you got to be on your game all the time, you know, and have everything go right, and it's because of you. That's the lie from the kingdom of darkness. That's the creature credit. The truth is that he's seen you from eternity past. He knows all about you, all about the problems you're going to have. You know, I always find it remarkable that fallen man, some of the things that we have to do, and I don't want to be too, you know, descriptive, but even the very bodily functions that we have to do, I think it's there to just humble us and realize we ain't what we think we are. Well, the fact that we have to sleep every night, you know, where did that come from? You know, in a way, you think it's kind of odd if you were creating, like, creatures that you want to enjoy, you know, and you like the way they think and they talk, right? You wouldn't say, all right, now you have to sleep for 12 hours a day. You see, I think that's part of being fallen man, to remind us that we ain't what we think we are. We ain't so hot. We got to just, you know, think about it. We think everything depends on us for the 12 hours we're awake. But somehow, what happens when we're asleep? Right? Ever think about that? I got too much time to think when I'm studying. But really, really, God took care of all kinds of things while we were sleeping for us. Well, guess what? He does the same thing when we're awake. But we hate to admit that because we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. So they bring in false concepts as truth. You know, Satan and the cosmic system love this. They love to tell people to live by false concepts, and then the false concepts will make you free. This is a huge, huge, huge trap. It's built into how we think in our fallen, sinful nature. Live by a false concept, and that will make you free. And as we begin, of course, to live in these false concepts, we actually lose our freedom to live. But that's not the world tells us. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. That's why I took you there first. You will be like God. The world will try to convince you that independence from God is real freedom. I mean, I'm not picking on the homosexual movement tonight, but really think about it, right? We're out of the closet. We're free. You're free? Are you really free? Or are you in bondage to a lie about how you have to live when in reality, taking whatever that situation is, that difficulty, that problem, that tendency, and finding out how to deal with it God's way is real freedom. Just one example. But that's always, notice, it's always the direction is to say that doing things apart from God will make you free. Right? You will be like God. God doesn't want you to eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, because you'll be just like him. You know, there was a poem that was written hundreds of years ago by an Englishman by the name of Milton. It was called Paradise Lost. Some of you may have read it as children. And it was a brilliant, the guy was a believer, and he really had some grasp of certain aspects of the angelic conflict. And he puts words into the mouth of Satan that are just brilliant in their targeting of how they really operate the kingdom of darkness in the world system. And Satan now is already fallen, and he's together with the fallen angels in hell. And he says this, he says, here at least we shall be free. The Almighty has not built here for his envy. He will not drive us hence. In other words, there's nowhere else to go that's worse from where we are right now. Here we may reign secure. And in my choice, to reign is worth ambition, though in hell. And then he says this, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. That's Satan, as quoted by Milton. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. This, of course, is pure insanity. Okay, I'll get to that in a minute. But now, this is just something I want you to just think. Now, there's a part of you right now that is reading that sentence and agreeing with it. So there's a part of us that just says, you know what? Yeah, you know, it's better to be in charge than to serve. There's a part of us. And then, so there's something that says, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. Yeah! In fact, there was a whole movement in the 1800s called the Romantic Movement that was based exactly on this. Throw away all the things that you were told before. Just have freedom. I mean, the 60s were all about this. They were all about this in a different form. Let's just do what we want. The heck with all that other stuff. Right? And the reason I'm bringing this up and I'm putting it in a poem where I hope it's somewhat safe is because this is real stuff. This is how the deception comes upon us. That somehow We're missing out by doing things God's way. He's holding us back. You'll be like God if you just do things Satan's way. Insanity. We saw that. But it stirs up something in the human gut that we got to deal with. Well, here's how we deal with it. Keep reading the fine print in Genesis chapter 3. Say, be like God, really? No good and evil, really? Here's the problem. When you declare your independence from God, if you do, guess who will be right there with you? Now, I know who you think I'm going to say, but it's not who you think I'm going to say. This is much more basic than anything else. If you declare your independence like God, if you say, you know what, I'm going to try what Satan just said. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven, which means I'm going to do things my own way. I love it. I love Frank Sinatra. But it always killed me when they played a particular song at weddings, which were about you giving up your selfishness and giving yourself to somebody. And you'd hear that song, I did it my way, which is Satan's way, right? Well, try it. You know, we have this tendency to want to do that. But when we do that, we declare our independence from God. Guess who is right there with you? You are. You're right there with you. Why am I saying that? Because you'll never be independent from yourself. And the self that you will never be independent from, unless you do things God's way, is a horrible person. The old sin nature, your fallen man, being totally depraved. The lie in what Satan said to all those angels was that, first of all, they weren't going to reign, he was. And second of all, they had to live with him. And Satan has to live with himself. And he's a terrible leader. And it's the same thing with you. If you try it, you can go ahead. But if you try to declare your independence from God, guess who you haven't become independent of? Yourself. Mr. and Mrs. Self-Centered One. Remember that from the Lord's Supper a few weeks ago? Still right there with you. And it's nasty. You will be harassed by a selfish, foolish, bitter, rebellious person. You. See, that's the fallacy in independence, any way but God's way. Any other way but his, you're stuck with you. And of course, you're also stuck with some other things as well. But of course, it sounds good, and it's not the truth. The lake of fire will be chock full of selfish, foolish, bitter, rebellious people. Better to reign there? I don't think so. Full of gossip and maligning, treachery, betrayal, harassment. That's what Satan is going to have to deal with for all of eternity. People that think just like him, that are selfish and foolish and bitter and rebellious. That's the result of declaring independence from God. But they didn't tell you that in the fine print of Genesis 3. Until you read it God's way, you will be like God. I said this on Sunday, and I found a verse. Please go to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Proverbs 26, 20. The insanity of it all. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. I don't think so. Independence from God, not true freedom. Total slavery. The lake of fire will be chock full of selfish, foolish, bitter, and rebellious people. Not fun. If God, I said this on Sunday, Proverbs 26:20, if God didn't ignite the lake of fire ahead of time, the inhabitants would find a way to set it on fire themselves. And it's one of the craziest things I ever never understood either. When you have people rioting, how often they just turn around and they just destroy their own neighborhood. You ever notice that? Like, why? You know, why are you doing that? All you're doing, we have this unbelievable capacity for self-destruction. This is what I want to get a sense of. Unbelievable capacity for self-destruction. And that's who we are without Christ. Look at Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, here's the sins of the tongue, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And that's all there's going to be in the lake of fire, contentious people. And so that if God didn't set it on fire, they'll find a way to do it themselves. Also in Proverbs 25:24, you can go backwards because, you know, I'm picking on the contentious men. But I love 25:24. Pick on the contentious lady. It is better to live in the corner of the roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Isn't that interesting? In other words, things aren't always what they seem. And the issue is character and integrity, not where you are and where you're reigning and anything like that. You know, and the issue is integrity. The issue is who's the person that you're with. I mean that in marriage. I also mean it with yourself. That you got a problem. You got a big problem called your old you, your old person. And unless you keep finding ways to deliver yourself from that, that's your big problem. It's not God. It's you. And until you understand that, until you've come to terms with that, and gotten to the point where you're frustrated and desperate even and helpless, only then are you ready for the solutions that God has to offer. Only then does the world system lose its magic. Because the problem with the world system's magic is that it all depends on you going for it. And the you that goes for it is going to end up being frustrated and disappointed and bitter about everything that it has to offer. So much so, hopefully, that one day you'll just smarten up and say, I've had enough of that. I know where that goes each and every time. It's like Charlie Brown, each and every time Lucy holds the football. He knows what she's going to do, right? Well, one, just stop kicking it, Charlie. Do you ever feel like saying that to him in one of those shows? I sure did. Stop it. Get somebody else to hold it, right? And that's what you have to say about your own life. Stop letting the world system hold that football for you. Get the Holy Spirit to hold it, and then see how many touchdowns and field goals you score. And that's exactly the deal. It's you. You've got to change your mind. You've got to understand the deal here. Look at Psalm 84, verse 8. Psalm 84, verse 8. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. You know, Michael Jackson had a lot of problems, but that song really hits the mark. It really does. That's the issue. You know, never mind the problems you got with God. You got a big problem in yourself, and until you admit that and just accept it for what it is, then you're never really going to be ready to take the solutions that God has for your life. Until you understand, and in a sense, just to declare that what Christ did at the cross is what you're so happy about, which is to finally put that self in the place of crucifixion, the old self. That's where he or she belongs. So that God can give you the new creature and you can live. He's already given it to you. That you can live in that new life he has for you. And this is Christianity. You know, that's what Paul said. A simplicity of devotion to Christ. Why did God have to become man and die a horrible death on the cross? Why? Well, the answer is that's God's solution to the problem of Mr. and Mrs. Self-centered. That's his solution to that. And he had to do that in order to free us from that old man, that Adam. And we all have that old man or old woman. Psalm 84, verse 8. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Salah, rest. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts... Here's the answer to Satan. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside in the world. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And our Lord Jesus Christ proved that. He said, I have nowhere to lay my head, but I would rather be doing my Father's will. It's better to be standing up during service, listening to the Word of God here, than to spend 1,000 nights somewhere where you're getting information from the world system that's going to make your soul rip apart. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing, here's the truth, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. Independence from God means slavery to Satan. Independence from God means slavery to the cosmic system, to sin and to the fallen self and to death. And true freedom is only achieved when you take your rightful place in obedience to God's authority and becoming who God designed you to be. You don't know who you're supposed to be. You're going to do a crummy job of your life until you give it over to the Lord and find out who he's designed you to be. The Creator, who designed for you for his glory, knows how you can really be happy. And the most free you can ever be as a human is living as a slave of Jesus Christ. And I chose my words carefully. The most free you can ever be as a human is to live as a slave of Christ Jesus. That's better than bondage to a creature, Satan, yourself in your fallen condition. A fallen creature wandered off the playing field with no integrity and no clue. The key is, who are you with? Who are you oriented to? You can't escape yourself. And if you try to be independent from God, all you're doing is putting yourself in slavery to a creature that has no character and no integrity at all. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for this opportunity to come to you and to understand more of who you are and the just amazing opposite between you and how you think and Satan and how he thinks. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to spend time in your word to make these things made clear. We just want to thank you because you're who you are, Father. We just ask you now for the mentorship of God, the Holy Spirit, so that we can have these things impressed on us and be made powerfully apparent to us when we need them in our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's on his merits we pray, by the power of the Spirit. Amen.